Hey! Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
That's our fifth guy.
Let's go. Now you get to live up your dream.
Let's go.
All right.
You need to score 2 points.
Here's how I see it. Doc.
Yeah.
You kick it into the girl bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy bunny.
Got it.
You swing around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
We on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Basketball match and earn their freedom. The Looney Tunes seek the aid of retired basketball champion Michael Jordan and welcomes him to the jam. Welcome to the slam. It's the slam jam. Welcome to the show.
You have to do the entire interview that way. I thought the movie was okay.
It went a little long. This. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the theater. This is Extras and Epilogues. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. And we are talking about Space Jam. Not the new one, which is somehow worse, but we're talking about the original. Here to talk with me about it is a slightly concerned Hunter Hendricks.
Slightly is a good term for it. I'll start it slightly, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I have Lindsay Wolfgang's here with us tonight. She remembers it.
Do remember it.
All right.
I watched it several times.
Before we get started
on the past.
Before we get started, two things, really quick. A little bit of house cleaning. Number one, IGN gave Ghostbusters Frozen Empire a 4 out of 10. I am concerned.
What?
I am concerned. I know I'm going to love the film. I know I'm going to love it. But I am a little concerned, Hunter.
I'm not concerned over IGN's review. I was more concerned when I then Googled reviews. I didn't read any. I just brought the headline up for, you know, the Google page for reviews, and most of them were like, it's all right. But in the aftermath of that, I've been tooling around on the Ghostbusters subreddits, there's multiples, this afternoon, and for like the kind of person who would be on a subreddit, like fans of the franchise, anybody who has managed to see it yet has said that if you're a fan, you're going to like it.
Yes.
You're probably, you might not love it. It might not be your favorite thing, just like Afterlife had its problems.
Sure.
But you're going to like it if that's the case. They said from several different people that I read who said this, said that most of the critical reviews that they have since gone and looked at are, they're like, this is, of course the critics don't like it. Like, critics don't like a lot of things like this. They don't much care for the MCU. They don't care for things that are long-running franchises most of the time.
Yeah.
So I'm not that concerned.
No.
I'm also concerned slightly, but I'm certainly not dreading it. Still think it's going to be something that we're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
It might be Ghostbusters 2. It might be just a continuation of the stuff that we like. And
which, we've said it on the show before, Ghostbusters 2, in a lot of ways, I like more than the original Ghostbusters.
Sure.
And famously, you're talking to the guy who really likes the 2016 one. So
right.
If I come out of this disliking it, you know something's wrong, because I'm borderline, you know, thank you. I couldn't think of a word that wasn't going to get me in trouble. So really quick, want to give a shout out to IGN, fuck you. And then the second thing is tonight's show is sponsored by our favorite game. When Shannon's had a long day, he's in a lot of mental pain and in a lot of physical pain. What's he drinking? Is it coffee or is it alcohol? Tonight it is coffee in his Ghostbusters coffee cup.
Yeah, that's good. Don't do the shot clock with that. You can't enjoy it that way. It's no good.
No, although the shot clock would be perfect for March Madness, but we're not going to do it. All right, let's talk about Jam and review Space Jam. Released.
I love everything about this.
November 15th, 1996, directed by Joe Pitka.
Yeah, I don't know if Pitka's done anything else. I didn't actually look this guy up. Usually I have a little note about, here are some other things that he did and what all he was acquired with. As best I can tell, he was more of a concert guy. He did music videos and that kind of thing. So he did something for Michael Jackson. But he's not a big movie director.
Right.
He actually did. He did four feature films. Can Goods to CANNES in 87, which was a documentary. So I assume it's about filmmaking. A non-documentary movie called Let It Ride that appears to be about motocross.
Okay.
Space Jam. And then something called Lunch with George and Ed that came out in 2017 and is a documentary again. So a very eclectic collection of things to be a director for. But yeah, he was mostly a music video guy. He did Michael Jackson's The Way You Make Me Feel. He did Dirty Diana. Heal the World. So that was his big thing.
Sure. Okay. Well, thanks, George. Joe. Starring arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. Important to note.
Not much of an argument. He is.
Well, I was a Knicks fan.
There are a lot of people who have a lot of opinion. Well, okay. Yeah. You can be a fan all you want. But the same goes for, you know, comparing LeBron and all that.
I don't deal with LeBron James. I don't deal with LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or any of those guys. My basketball knowledge stopped at like Patrick Ewing, who's in this film.
He's in the movie. I saw something the other day, and I assume it was because it popped up in some kind of social media somewhere. I assume it was because I did the notes for the show, where Michael Jordan evidently once was asked about if, you know, these guys were going to beat these records of his. And I forget who it was who he was dogging on, because one of those guys, maybe it's LeBron or Kobe, one of the two of them, when Kobe was still around, didn't have much in the way of championships. And he's like, oh, they can beat all the records they want. I got one over them, rings, three of them.
Yeah.
And he just held up his hand. Like, that's good shit.
That's a good argument right there. Yeah. Billy West in this film as Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know Billy West did Bugs Bunny in this movie, but I found that out today when we rewatched it. Wayne Knight.
Makes sense.
The fantastic Wayne Knight as Michael Jordan's
always great
press or agent, basically.
Publicist.
Yeah. Danny DeVito as the bad guy. And then you don't have it listed here, but the amount of people that are in this film, Bill Murray, the cameos by
Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley,
Larry Muggsy Johnson, Bogues. Muggsy Bogues. I mean, it's a who, Charles Oakley. I mean, it's a who's who. And that's actually going to be part of the review that I'm looking forward to talking about. Even people like Patricia Heaton is in this, and Dan Castellaneta little cameos.
Basketball fans.
One of my favorite things I learned today, Katherine Reitman, who we know better as Maureen Ponderosa. It's his niece. So, is there
her
daughter?
Some relation?
Yeah. She's his. I think she's either his niece or his daughter. It's one of the two. She plays one of the Monstars when they're still little wormy things. She's Bupkis.
Really?
If I remember correctly, yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's her dad. Ivan Reitman is her dad.
Yep.
I did not know this.
Yeah,
Maureen Ponderosa's dad is Ivan Reitman.
She's in Ghostbusters too. She's the little girl playing with the dog in the scene with Egon and Sigourney Weaver.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take the dog away.
God damn.
Take the puppy away.
Fantastic.
Go ahead and take the puppy away.
88 minute runtime. It's right near the sweet spot. It's in that era. In that area. It's a good spot. Massive hit. Yeah. Budget versus box office. We're talking about $80 million versus $250 million. Critical reception, 43% critical approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. That's an average rating of 5.3 out of 10.
Real quick with the budget numbers, worth noting that it is both the highest grossing basketball movie and the highest grossing Looney Tunes movie of all time in the same film.
$60 million of that went, if I remember correctly, to Michael Jordan, with $20
million
reserved
right.
for the rest of the stuff there. Metacritic score 59 out of 100. That's mixed or average. 3.5 out of 4 stars from Roger Ebert, a man we greatly admire, who says, it's a happy marriage of good ideas, a comic treatment of the career adventures of Michael Jordan crossed with the Looney Tunes cartoon and some showbiz warfare. The result is delightful, a family movie in the best sense, which means adults will enjoy it too. So let's talk about the plot for a second, then get into our thoughts in it. So basically, there is this this thing played by Danny DeVito who wants to. Oh God, I just watched it today, and you're gonna have to remind me. He's trying to bring the Looney Tunes together to put on a show, right? If I remember correctly.
So he runs an amusement park.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito's character Swackhammer owns an amusement park. That is like basically in space. These guys are aliens. But he notices that the like bratty kids that are coming to it, the bratty alien kids, don't care about the entertainment they have anymore, which of course is death defying. The rides that they're on could literally kill them, and they still don't care. So he says, we got to do something to shake things up. He sits on the remote control. The Looney Tunes come up on TV, and his little minions go, well, what about those guys? So that's why he wants to bring them. He thinks bringing them into the park will bring people to it. Famously, this, of course, is a riff on Six Flags.
Yeah.
So they're making fun of Magic Mountain in California because the name of the place is Moron Mountain. And then, of course, the Looney Tunes were and I think still are. WB, I think, still has them licensed out to Six Flags. So they were kind of like the cartoon mascots, the Mickey Mouse of Six Flags, basically.
Right.
So that's kind of where the whole premise comes from.
It's a stupid premise.
Why is that stupid? It's a cartoon.
It's a car. I have to keep reminding myself of that, and I'll explain here in a second. So
so they
try to get the Looney Tunes, and Looney Tunes don't want to do it. Then somehow, and I watched this at work, and most of it I caught perfectly, and there were some things that I caught while we were busy. Somehow,
do you want me to do this?
Yeah, make you feel better. For the fuck of God, please.
So they capture Bugs. Bugs then brings everyone together and says, here's what's going to happen. These guys want us to go back. They keep using the word slave, which is not great.
Not good.
But these guys want us to go back and work for their theme park. But he convinces them that they should at least give them a chance to defend themselves, which I thought was pretty funny in the way that he does it. He writes in a book that's supposed to be how to draw cartoon characters. It's how to kidnap cartoon characters is what he changes with the post-it note. And then the note inside says, give them a chance to defend themselves. And they're like, well, it's in the manual, so we got to do something. So he and the other Looney Tunes get together. They go, how can we win this, basically? And they go, well, what do we know about these guys? Well, they're little. They're not very fast. They can't jump very high. And it dawns on them, basketball would be a good idea. Unfortunately, even though they accept that challenge, the aliens have a way of stealing the talent from actual NBA players and injecting it into themselves. Ergo, they become these incredible basketball players, which is when Bugs goes, hey, we're going to need some help. And so they drag Michael Jordan into it, and hijinks ensue.
Yes.
That's the gist.
Hijinks aplenty. Okay, now let's talk about the film. First off, you cannot talk about this film without bringing up the fact that this movie has one of the best soundtracks of all time.
It's fucking amazing.
Hands down.
It's so good.
I mean, this, just even the opening track, the, you know, come on a slam. I mean, my God. Yes.
It's the 90s incarnate. It gets
you so hyped. Yeah, you're so hyped for this movie. Yes. And not just that. You're talking about I Believe I Can Fly. I want to fly like an eagle. Yep. It's just Monica's on the soundtrack, Jay-Z. I mean, it's so good. This is one of the greatest. This is legitimately one of the greatest soundtracks of all time. I had this soundtrack when I was younger, and I played this all the time.
I would argue this was the first rap album I owned.
Really?
I mean, because basically the entire album is rap and hip hop, right?
And R&B. And
this was the closest thing. And R&B, yeah. I mean, this was really the first album that I owned that was exclusively that stuff. I had some like mix CDs and that kind of thing, but pretty much this whole soundtrack is that. And I listened to this thing until I wore that CD out. I think I still have the CD downstairs. We've got our huge like wallet somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that album is still in there. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
100%. I mean, you can play pretty much any number of songs from this film for anybody, and they're going to know it and start singing it.
Yeah.
Come on the train and ride. I mean, there's so many classics.
Was that in this?
You just unlocked a bad middle school memory.
I need to look it up. I need to look it up real quick. What was the name of this
film? I love that song, Space Jam. I don't think that song is on there.
Maybe I'm thinking of
the train.
I might be thinking of.
You're thinking of the opening song. Yeah. You're thinking of the opening song. Come on, ride the train's not in this.
I want to be right though. I don't think I am. I am curious.
I'm looking at the soundtrack. I'm looking at the
soundtrack right now. What am I thinking of? What movie?
The song you're thinking of is by the Quad City DJs, and it's called "Come On Ride It" (parentheses mm-hmm. the train). I have no idea what album or what movie it's in.
I'm looking it up.
I'm sure it's in some sports movie from the 90s.
I'm not crazy.
Come on, ride
at the train. The Quad City DJs. What was it on? Am I crazy? Maybe it was just on one of those compilation albums, and I just heard it and went, oh, yeah.
I was going to say, that was a great song, and I heard it all over the place, but I don't remember it being in a like specific
movie. Yeah, I'm just crazy. I'm looking at it right now. I'm just crazy. I heard it, and it came out in 96.
I mean,
I probably got confused.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And it is in, and we were just talking about It's Always Sunny, it is in that episode, Psycho Pete Returns, right? Because when they send Psycho Pete back on the train, they're putting him on the subway, or the elevated train, and they're like, they have the boombox, and they're doing the whole thing, playing the song. But it's not in.
It should have been, and it was a missed opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
All right, but otherwise, the soundtrack is great, and I know what I'm talking about, And I don't live in a hotel. Tell the kid,
and she's gonna be okay.
Tell the kid, Hunter.
My friend doesn't live in a hotel, and she's gonna be all right.
All right, so here's my biggest problem with this film. One of my biggest problems with this film. And I'm probably overreacting on a lot of it, and I think you and I might argue in a little bit of this. I hated then, and I still hate to this day, the sexualization of Lola Bunny. It still drives me nuts.
Right.
Okay.
You're
cool.
Right.
Cool.
It's disturbing.
That is easily my least worst favorite part of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To me,
that is the part that is...
Not just the moment she's introduced.
No, the whole time. Like, everything.
The moment she's introduced, when she comes out for the basketball game
with
itself,
the
fact that they fall back onto the silhouette, the saxophone solo, every...
My God.
Like, I'm fine with the cartoon eye hearts. Like, that's whatever. That's...
Sure.
Duh.
Right.
Like, but it's just so much. And she entirely exists in that movie so that Bugs Bunny has a love interest. And I looked at Sarah and I was like, why does he need a love interest? Why is this a thing?
She exists for him to have a love interest. And then for the watchers, she exists so that future furry fans can jack off when they're younger.
The moment she walked out of the basketball practice arena the first time, I was like, and 1,000 furries were born on this very day.
I'm not going to say, I'm not going to name any names, but somebody was in the store today while I watched it and literally was telling me to be quiet when the Lola Bunny part came on and told me about how attractive they found her. And it was a whole thing. I had a whole day of dealing with it, of Lola Bunny sexiness. And I'm like, this is going to make me hate
this
movie.
Maybe that's why you don't like this so much. Yeah, I was going to say, because that to me is easily the most egregious part of it. And I will 100% acquiesce to, I wish that didn't exist.
Yeah,
because
it feels very forced. It feels very forced.
Well, also because for a split second, you think they're going to do something good here, because when she's introduced, she's the only one who's good at basketball.
Right.
And Jordan even says, like, she's good. Like, we need her. But then from that point forward, he's the only one who can train them. And I'm like, why is it not both of them?
Yeah.
Why is it not he teaches them the actual game and she teaches them, like, the cartoon part of it? Like, here's how you use your, for lack of a better term, cartoon powers to be good at it. That should have been her, not
also,
Bugs Bunny.
If you're putting
Lola cannot sanction their buffoonery.
Exactly.
If you're putting together a basketball team, why do you pick Elmer Fudd and Porky Pig? Why don't you get that big buff dude with the mustache? I don't remember his name. You know what I'm talking about? The big
Sam?
No. He looks like a big Russian dude. He's like a muscle guy, big bodybuilder type. He was in a couple of Bugs Bunny cartoons, I remember. I'm not talking about another porn. I'm pretty sure this is right.
he's not a staple character that has his own cartoons.
It doesn't matter.
That was the real answer.
I mean, that's obviously the answer, of course. I'm trying to look at things logically. Why would you pick Granny?
Big red hair monster.
Granny?
Well, they didn't pick her. Remember, she was a cheerleader.
Was she a cheerleader?
She said she was
Granny
a cheerleader.
Yeah.
No, she was on the bench. She said she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
She said as much because when Wayne Knight goes over to sit beside her, he's like, look at us. You know, at any moment, we could be put in the game. And she's like, I'm a cheerleader. And she just starts shaking the pom-poms.
So, other things
you want me to throw you a bone on this? They should have. Why did they pick Tweety Bird? Why do they pick Tweety Bird?
Tweety's adorable.
Well, like you said, they wanted characters.
So that's the real answer.
When Lola Bunny,
as far as for playing basketball,
when Lola Bunny comes onto the court the first time and does her thing, and it goes to Tweety, goes, "Oh, she's hot," and everyone has to talk about how attractive Lola Bunny is. I didn't get it.
Yes.
Like, what was the point of this? I mean, you could have drawn her
sexualization.
You didn't have to put her in the little tank top and booty shorts. She didn't have to have large breasts.
Sexualization.
Like. Someone pointed out to me that she is almost the exact same model as a character named Barry from Conker's Bad Fur Day. Almost the exact same.
Okay.
And once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. And I thought, this is... No, please stop.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
So,
That part I don't like.
I'm glad we can
agree.
And
I don't hate her as a character.
I wish
there was... Again, like I said, I wish there was more for her to do other than exist for sex.
Right. But I like her as a character because she says to Bugs almost immediately, don't call me, don't call me doll. And you think there's this big woman empowerment thing. The problem is, as is often the case, whenever you have a female character that is empowered with her sexuality and stuff like that, it's almost always entirely written by men. Like Bayonetta.
Yep.
So it kind of takes away from this, you know, from that, I think, when it's men doing it. Anyway, let's get past Lola Bunny. I could sit here and rant about Lola Bunny the entire time because I did for a long, long time today. When I was younger, I liked this movie and I didn't like this movie. I loved the movie when I was younger for the Looney Tunes. I hated it for everything else. I loved Looney Tunes. I wanted to see the Looney Tunes. I didn't care about the basketball players. here's the shocking part. Watching it today, complete opposite. I loved the basketball stuff. Players. And the Looney Tunes stuff felt really forced. It felt super like...
It's not for you anymore.
No, the movie was... Well, it wasn't for anybody. The movie was built for Michael Jordan. It was to show you that Michael Jordan is God and that he's the greatest at everything he's ever done. Except baseball. But the Looney Tunes stuff is
for the kids.
The baseball stuff made me laugh.
Sarah said it in the beginning, and at first I countered because she goes, you know, it's honestly kind of impressive that he like took in this movie and made fun of himself. And I was like, yeah, but it's also like a 90-minute Michael Jordan commercial. Like, he's always the hero. He's never going to be wrong about anything. And then I was pleasantly surprised to find out I was wrong. At the end, I had to eat some crow on that because from what I remembered from the movie, he only ever looked like he was the best. No, he gets fucked up quite a bit. Well, like he makes fun of his own baseball career.
That was pretty. Yeah. That was pretty funny. I laughed at that.
He underestimates, you know, the villains a couple of different times. He gets smashed up into his own little basketball and gets dunked on.
Of course,
that. He doesn't come up with the plan to save him at halftime. I mean, again, it should have been Lola, but it's Bugs who comes up with the plan, and then he has to go along with it.
No, it should have been Daffy.
Why?
I love Daffy Duck. I'm sorry.
I do too, but Daffy's comic relief. He shouldn't be getting any success in that way. He's great because he's constantly getting fucked up. Anyway,
Daffy's the best because he beat Bugs Bunny once when they were doing a show, and they were trying to one up each other, and Daffy did a trick so amazing. The only problem is that he can only do it once. Right.
That was suicide in a cartoon, is what happened there. anyway. No, my only problem with Michael Jordan in this movie is just not a very good actor, but none of these guys are, other than the actual actors they brought in.
Well, Hunter, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm glad you did, because I said I was going to do this today at the store, and I'm going to do it now. If you think the acting by the basketball players in Space Jam is bad, we are going to take you now to a clip from one of the NBA 2K games. See if you can tell. See if you can tell who the voice actors are and who the basketball players are. And we'll pause for that now. Okay, back from that.
Oh God.
With that said, I actually thought the
fabulous segment, and it's terrible.
I think the basketball players. I actually thought they were pretty good. And that's what I was gonna say.
I mean, they're fine. It's not great, but again, they're not actors,
right?
Yeah, they get by. They get by. All right.
You can kind of see a little bit of Barkley's future humor though in this. The part where he's praying and he's like, you know, I won't go out with Madonna again. Stuff like that. Very funny. Very funny.
So Barkley was in this one. That's what I couldn't remember.
So it was Barkley, Muggsy Bogues, Larry Johnson, Patrick Ewing, and the white dude. I can never remember his name. It's the white guy.
I can't either.
But that's not it. That's not just it. You've also got cameos, like we said. Charles Oakley's in this. Larry Bird, Vlade Divac. I haven't thought about Vlade Divac in years. Vlade Divac,
right?
So as a 90s kid, 80s kid, a 90s kid who watched a lot of basketball, rewatching this movie, every time these guys are interacting with each other, I'm having just a fucking best day. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about this. Oh, I forgot, you know, they're joking about each other's basketball game. And I loved that part. I really did.
And I'm even going to go back on something, because he earned it, that I said a second ago. Michael Jordan might not be the best actor, but I also have to constantly remind myself he spent so much time acting to a blue screen in this movie. Yeah. Even the best actors can't always do that well. I mean, oh my God, Gandalf, Magneto. McKellen. Help me. Ian McKellen, thank you. I kept trying to say Michael something, and I'm like, that's not him. Ian McKellen. You know, famously, like, cried on the set of the Hobbit movies because he's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not acting to anything. This is just a blank stage.
Yeah.
So not only was Michael Jordan having to do that, he was having to do it in 1996.
Yes.
When it wasn't even very good.
Yeah. With that said, though,
I gave him a little credit for that.
All the big films were starting to do that, and it's like, we got to do it too.
Well, with that said, I thought even though I didn't like the animation as much as I liked just standard cartoons. The animation was good. It looked good. It was a very vibrant film.
Yeah.
It was a very good looking film. Wayne Knight is a treasure. He's one of my favorite parts of it.
He's always hilarious.
He's always great in everything he does.
And everything he's in.
Bill Murray is really good.
I didn't realize until I was watching this movie again, but Wayne Knight reminds me a lot of Steven Root.
Yeah.
He kind of shows up as a similar type character in everything, but he's always a good hand to have on. He's always funny.
Knocks out of the park.
He's always hitting the beats. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, funny thing about Wayne Knight, in the same way that, you know, everyone always said Patrick Stewart would be the best Picard, and then Patrick Stewart was cast as Picard. I thought Wayne Knight, and if you're not a Punisher fan, this is probably going to make sense to you. I always thought Wayne Knight
was Micro.
I thought he would be the perfect Micro, and that they did cast him as Micro in the Warzone film. Just perfect casting right there. And Wayne Knight is just fantastic.
I've got, this is no good for the listener, but I've got all these fucking Legos behind me, and it dawned on me the other day that I've all, because all my stuff is all cinematic. It's all MCU and like TV shows, Friends and Seinfeld and stuff. And of all the things I have, of all the actors to double, the only person I have two of is Wayne Knight. Because I got that Jurassic Park set where he's Dennis Nedry.
Seinfeld.
And he's in the Seinfeld set as Newman.
Nice.
And it didn't even dawn on me that I have too many figs of Wayne Knight of all people.
Oh, I know we have to talk about Space Jam, but you're unlocking memories in me too. There was a commercial, I don't know if you ever saw it, where they were advertising the new season of Seinfeld. And it's Seinfeld and Wayne Knight walks, he's there, and Jerry's like, "Hello, Newman. I thought you were doing that dinosaur movie." He was like, "It's done. I'm back, Jerry." It was just very good.
That's awesome. No, I never saw that.
Made me laugh. Back to this film, though. I really did. I know I joked around earlier. And I think Hunter thinks I hate this movie. Maybe I gave off the wrong impression.
You came in like you were coming in hot. Well, because, like, I was worried that you were going to go nuts on it.
No, there
but
are
now
some
I have
things.
The context and I understand.
There are some things in this movie I truly do hate. I hate the way they treated Lola Bunny. I hate it. I will always hate it.
Yes.
And I'm glad we're all on the same page about that.
It's weird.
And I enjoyed, and this is going to sound weird, I enjoyed the real life parts with the basketball players more than I enjoyed the Looney Tunes stuff. And I don't know why. I'm trying to figure out why. And
I don't think the animated, the mostly Looney Tunes stuff is for us anymore. I mean, a lot of the humor that they spit is meant for the, so this is very much a kid, I mean, Ebert says in his review, this is a kids and adults movie.
Sure.
We're making a movie that will appeal to mass audiences. But unlike the way they would do that today, where stuff is kind of mixed and integrated, it's kind of clear when this is for the adults and when this is for the kids. As a kid, I didn't understand a single fucking thing Bill Murray said in this movie. I had no idea why he was there. It didn't seem like he had a script. I liked him in Ghostbusters, but I was like, why is he, what is he doing? And I'm watching it today, and I'm losing my shit when Daffy goes, "You know, something's been bothering me. How did you get here?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, the producer's a friend of mine. The Teamster dropped me off." And I'm like, it's Ivan Reitman. That's the bit. It's Ghostbusters. And he's and when he says he's going to retire, I'm going to go out on top, you know, go out undefeated. I got to go ice these knees right now. You know, they're getting me. It's just that stuff is for us now. The Looney Tunes stuff is exactly what Looney Tunes always will be, which is like the simplest joke, the simplest setup, because it's for kids.
But I think there are some Looney Tunes things that I think tread the line a little bit more on being more adultish.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of the old cartoons, and that's my favorite of the old Looney Tunes cartoon. I haven't watched a Looney Tunes cartoon in forever, but the old cartoons really walk that line of, are you sure it's for kids? And, you know, their appearance in Who Framed Roger Rabbit is another one that I can't believe we're not doing Who Framed Roger Rabbit for Animation April. That blew my mind.
It is not a purely animated film.
Space
over here
Jam
on my side.
Is not for, it's not for
it's not for a purely month. Animated
Fuck.
Film.
For a different
it's integrated. We All got right. Nostalgia November.
All right, so we'll have to do Desegenated December.
Desegenated.
What up?
But anyway, yeah, I think the cartoon stuff was a little bit too cartoony for me. I'm the guy that when the fly is flying underwater in SpongeBob, I go, come on. So clearly I'm not meant for stuff like that anymore. But I didn't hate the Looney Tunes stuff because I love the Looney Tunes. Daffy Duck is one of my all-time favorite characters. I love Bugs Bunny. I love Sylvester. That's it. The rest of them are fine.
Tell me you didn't love that your favorite thing from Daffy wasn't that that little dig at the Anaheim Ducks.
Yes, I was just looking at that. Yeah,
so good.
After, because I still remember that before I even started the movie. After Daffy's just named the team the Ducks, Bugs asked, what kind of Mickey Mouse organization would name their team the Ducks? Which was a dig
was
at the Anaheim
right
Ducks.
Right after, Disney had just set up the Anaheim Ducks through the NHL.
Yeah.
And so it was not in any way at all veiled threat. Also, speaking, or not threat, insult.
Shot,
Speaking of little, like, inside shots, you caught the name of Michael Jordan's dog, right?
No. What was it?
It's over his doghouse. His name is Charles, and he's a dog. That's Charles Barkley. Oh, yeah. That's Charles 100% Barkley. What he was doing.
Yeah.
That's 100% what he was doing.
Like I said, man, watching these old basketball stars that I grew up watching was a treat. Looney Tunes will always be Looney Tunes. You know, you can have Bugs Bunny and them around forever. They're timeless. You can always find new voice actors, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, seeing those guys in their prime, like Barkley and Jordan and Ewing, I'm a huge Patrick Ewing fan. Boy, that was incredible. And probably my favorite part in the film is the montage where they do the doctor's thing and they're talking to the psychiatrist. And Muggsy Bogues. I quoted this to Lindsay when I was dropping her off at work earlier today. The part where Muggsy Bogues is like, "Are you saying, you know, I'm disappointing my mama?" Well, I'm not saying you. I love my mama. I will always love that joke. And
is there any other sort of talent you've been having trouble with lately in Patrick Ewing's face where he just goes,
"Huh?
No. What are you saying?" I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah. So
it's funny.
There's a lot of great parts to this film, but I've ranted and raved. What about you? I'll let you jump in here.
No, man. I was concerned that there were things that I couldn't pick up on that you didn't care for. Now hearing what you didn't like, I understand it. I'm far more acquiescing to the Lola Bunny stuff. It's just weird.
It's just weird.
So many other ways to handle that character, or just again to not have that character. Because as far as I recall, this is her first appearance, right?
Yep.
She was in something else, but it was very minor. It was either comics. Or if Baby Looney Tunes was already a thing, she was in that. But I almost feel like that came after Space Jam.
Right.
And then they redesigned her for the sequel, and people got upset she wasn't as sexy.
Of course they did.
This is the world we live in.
It's so disappointing. But like, again, I don't even put it on the character, or definitely not on the voice actor. Kath Soucie is a treasure.
She's great.
I wish there had been more to her than just, look, it's walking sex in bunny form. It's weird, man.
Look at my animated rabbit tits. I don't like
even saying words
right now. Yeah, I blame...
okay, well, hang on. I gotta go check.
Oh, no.
Look, I blame this film. Someone that I talked to today said, no, there were furries before this movie. They mentioned Maid Marian from the Robin Hood movie, and I went...
Yeah.
Okay,
sure. Okay. But Maid Marian wasn't walking around in fucking ass shorts with midriff showing.
There were plenty other of anthropomorphic cartoons leading up to
that. Yeah.
But this was the one.
Lola took it to a different level.
For this generation, this was definitely the one.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah.
Man, so here's what I remember about this movie from when I was a kid. So it came out in November of 96. That means... That I would probably have seen it twice before Christmas. This is the first movie I remember seeing more than once in the theater. I know I went and saw it with my grandpa. He took me to see it. I was 11 at this time, so I was pretty well right in a good age range for it. I know he took me to see it, and I distinctly remember going to see it with some friends, which normally I would have done like as a birthday thing, but that was in January, so I don't know. I feel like it was maybe some kind of Christmas get together. I loved it when I was a kid. They made a toy line. I was all over that. This was one of the very few times that I cared about sports at all. Like this movie got me interested in basketball in a lot of ways, because I had played baseball when I was younger. I didn't like it as I got a little older. I kind of drifted out of sports. The only time I ever really drifted back in was this. And then I got to where, you know, I had a friend who had a hoop outside and we would shoot there. I loved it then. And then there were a few times after that where, like, you'd watch it in school. Like, on the last day of school, they wheeled the TV card in and it was there. And you watch it then and remember that you liked it. And then for years, just nothing.
Yeah.
I don't remember a thing. I never watched this. I never listened to the soundtrack. So this is the first time I've seen it. God, definitely since, I don't know, college. Maybe we watched it in college once. And I didn't really know what to think going in either. I remembered that, you know, the acting probably wasn't going to be great. The CGI probably wasn't going to be great. And all of that was accurate. And yet at the same time, I mean, I still had a good time. I didn't laugh out loud at too much. There were a few times that I did, but like you said, a lot of the humor is kind of designed for a younger audience. But again, one of my big things when it comes to children's entertainment or entertainment in general, but especially if you're going to aim it at kids, is they need a better class of entertainment. I just said this. And one of those things is there needs to be a lesson or a theme, and there's a clear theme to follow through with this movie.
Yeah, don't bet against Jordan.
Multiple characters like learn lessons and grow and evolve as people, and as bunnies and whatever. But it's just, there's a lot of good stuff coming out of it in the end in that way. Plus, it's just kind of fun. I mean, it's just a fun little movie. It doesn't, you said earlier you thought it was too long. I didn't think it overstayed its welcome.
Oh, no, that was a joke. That was a joke. I didn't think it was too long. I didn't think it was too long. No.
Okay, I misunderstood that. Yeah, no. I will tell you, if there was one thing that I thought was too long, as much as I love that song, those opening credits go on for about 10 minutes.
It's a 15-minute opening credits.
I mean, unfortunately, that's what happens when you're with the Film Guild and you have to go through all of those early credits.
Like, but legitimately, the opening, not the credits part, I love the credits part, but the opening scene with young Michael Jordan and his father is one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I like it.
Michael Jordan famously, you know, and loving his father and all, you know, that
wanted to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, that was a heart tugger right there. I really liked that part. Yeah. I forgot. I totally went into this movie remembering that they basically treated Michael Jordan like a god. He was perfect in every way. He was infallible. And you're right, it wasn't that way. I actually came out of this liking Jordan more than I did the first time I watched it. His acting's not great, and one of the parts that objective, is this good or bad? When all the weird shit happens to him, and he, you know, they hit him in the head with the AOK and all that. The first thing he does, is he looks at him, and he just goes, "What's going on here?" Like, very nonchalant that these cartoon characters have kidnapped him.
Okay, guys, let's stop playing around. Like, come on,
what's going on? Is that you? Is that you, Charles? Scotty,
is that you, Bugs Bunny?
So that was a little weird, but there were other parts that I thought he was very charming. The baseball part where the catcher's telling him what not to swing at, and he swings anyway. He's like, "I told you not to swing." He's like, "I couldn't help it."
Hey, it's good talking to you, man.
Yeah, that was good. That was great.
All the guys in the dugout that are like, "Hey, man, when I strike out, I look like crap. You look great.
Yes,
like you strike out, but you look great doing."
And you got to remember, I grew up during this time period, as did you and Lindsay. Yes. Like, I remember Michael Jordan playing baseball. I remember
it's
this experiment.
To still think about.
Yes. So this movie, when it came out, hit me at just the perfect time where I actually already loved basketball. I was always playing basketball. I went to a very urban school. Basketball is what we did. I had a basketball hoop outside my house, you know, in the driveway. We were always balling. I loved rap. I love hip hop. I love R&B. I loved Looney Tunes. This movie, when I was younger, hit on every level. I think as an adult, it doesn't hit me quite as much because I am a different person, as we all are. But there was enough of this that I did enjoy it. And again, I enjoyed the real life stuff a little bit more than the cartoon, which is kind of sad because I love Looney Tunes, but it was just such a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I did at least appreciate that, even if I didn't laugh out loud at every little like Looney Tunes bit, when they did do kind of referential stuff to the things that they'd done before, it was always on point. Like Wile E. Coyote, of course, has the rocket that sends him away at the end. And when they cut to him and he's just grinning, and Bugs is like, "Eh, good one." You know, there was another one before that. Oh, when they're coming up with their plans, how they're going to beat them, and they cut to Sylvester, and he's like, "All right, here's what we do. We wait until the old woman goes out of the room, climb up the ladder, and then we get there." And he's like, "Hey, buddy, calm down." Like, that stuff's funny. Did it make me laugh out loud? No, but it made me chuckle, and it reminded me of the stuff that I liked about these characters. That's really all I'm looking for.
The part where Yosemite Sam and Porky Pig, or is it Elmer? I think it's Elmer. They're dressed like the Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
They shoot a player. They even play Miserloo.
They shoot a player in his face with pistols. That's got to be a call, ref. That's got to be a call.
Marvin the Martian calls nothing in this entire game. If there's anything I'm mad as hell about, I'm over there going, I'm Dennis in the Sunny episode where they're coaching the teams. You call this game, Charlie. You call it right now.
Why would the Monstars let a Looney Tunes character be the ref?
Well, because Marvin the Martian doesn't like any of the Looney Tunes. He's the only impartial one.
He is technically a villain in the Looney Tunes.
He hates all of them. Well, he's so the is only Elmer. Impartial person around.
I'd say Elmer,
Elmer doesn't
villain.
Hate all of them. He worked with Yosemite Sam, though.
He also worked with Daffy because it was duck season. Yeah. It was rabbit season. There was an argument. There was a whole thing.
Well, it was rabbit season.
It was rabbit season. Anyway... Now that
or it was duck season.
that's Zach Kirk as Daffy Duck, by the way. here's my review. Let's get to the review real quick. All right. As we do on the show, if this is the first time you're listening, we follow the greats. We take our inspiration from them. Of course, Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel out of Chicago. Two thumbs up means you love it. One thumb up means you like it. One up, one down means you're neutral to it. It's a very mid film, as they say to you. One down means you dislike it. Two down means you hate it. Famously, only two films have ever gotten thumbs downs, two thumbs down across the board.
Across the board.
That is Neil Breen's Fateful Findings, which is just an awful film. And yes, Dog Soldiers, which honestly isn't as bad, but it was more disappointing. That was more of a personal one, I think, for everybody. That was very much a I felt betrayed type thing. Yeah. Anyway.
I wonder if someday we'll go back around and see if that's as bad as we thought it was. I don't know.
I think maybe for this Halloween, as an extra, we should watch it again and re-review it.
1 year later, see how bad it is.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. All right. So I pretty much said all of my thoughts there at the beginning. I've made my thoughts well known throughout this episode. There are parts I loved about this, parts I didn't. I grew up loving basketball. I grew up loving this culture. I grew up loving rap, hip-hop, R&B, and Looney Tunes. So as a kid, this movie was everything I ever wanted it to be, except for the fact, and this is no joke, the only thing I hated about this film growing up was that it was about Michael Jordan, because I was a Knicks fan, and I hated Michael Jordan, because nobody could beat him. He really is the greatest basketball player of all time. And, you know, I grew up with the Knicks, John Starks, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, guys like that. So I did enjoy the fact that Patrick Ewing was in the film, and he's very funny. Even though they're not great actors, they're very funny. But the fact that it was Michael Jordan heavy and that it was just it was a giant commercial for Michael Jordan for the most part, in the same way that The Wizard was a giant commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3 and the Power Glove.
Sure. Absolutely.
But seeing it as an adult, I don't feel the same hate for Michael Jordan anymore, obviously. I very much respect everything he's done. I think he's a wonderful athlete and a great ambassador. He was very harmless in this film. It was still a Michael Jordan commercial, but there's a lot of fun to be had in it. It is really good for the family. There are some in jokes that that only adults are going to get. There's a lot of jokes that are going to fall flat for adults because they're meant for kids. It really is for everybody. I can't really say anything bad about this film. I kind of went into this wanting to dislike it. I don't know why. But I didn't dislike it when it came out. No, but I'm not that anymore. But here's one thing that I did hate, and I'll always hate, and that's Lola Bunny. I will never not hate it. There is nothing that will change my mind.
The treatment of.
Yes.
The way that that character is handled. I don't hate the character. I really don't.
The sexualization of a cartoon rabbit and her CD cup breasts and her midriff and her thick ass and their tiny ass shorts that she wore over them.
Getting way too specific.
In a cartoon. I don't understand.
That was taking the Bugs Bunny and drag in a completely different direction.
You could have presented this. I will never forgive this. You could have absolutely presented this character in a non-sexual way and made it a powerful female character. She could have been a great basketball player. She could have even been hip and modern. But she didn't need to pull the strap up her shoulder when she played with Bugs. She didn't need the jazz music playing. She didn't need the sexy silhouette. All of that stuff, I don't understand the point. I don't understand whose fetish that was that they had to put it in the film. And now it's a lot of people's fetish. So whoever it was, thanks a lot.
Thanks for that.
But minus my feelings on Michael Jordan, minus some of the jokes falling flat for me with the Bugs Bunny, with the Looney Tunes stuff, and definitely minus Lola Bunny, I did enjoy most of the rest of the film. All the live action actors were great. I loved the parts with the basketball players. It was so endearing to see my favorite players when they were young again in their prime. So with all that said, I have very mixed feelings about this film. I'm giving it one thumbs up. It's not a hard one thumbs up. It's about 85%. There's a little timid, you know, a little hesitation. But I can't deny that it's a fun romp. The cynic in me can't hate life that much, but there are things that I did dislike. But one thumbs up for me. I think if you've never seen it, watch it. If you watched it when you were a kid and you're an adult, watch it again. So that's me. Yeah. Hunter, let's put it to you.
That's where I am too. There's not enough. And I remember, you know, again, I said earlier, I really loved this movie because it got me into basketball and I had kind of a minor obsession with it for a little bit, but I don't even think then I would have said this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, there were other movies even as a kid that I knew I liked better. So to me, the really impressive part of it is that level of staying power that I can watch it again. I the first time I saw it, I was 11. I'm 39 now, and I can still say, like, this is still a movie that I enjoyed watching. I don't feel like I wasted an hour and a half of my time. There's that little bit of nostalgia trip. Is it great? No. Is it good? Yeah. It's still a fun watch. Like you said, I can still enjoy myself, kind of throwing back to that era, kind of throwing back to those characters. Man, there's really just not a lot else for me to say about it. It was a fun time. There was nothing that outside of, again, the Lola stuff, that just made me go, oh God, what is happening? Why is this, you know, going on? Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think it's impressive that, you know, Ebert kind of pointed out in his review, but this is a basketball movie. Mm-hmm. It's also an animated movie.
Yeah.
But it's also a mixture of animation and live action. It combines, like you said, like some showbiz elements about, you know, these guys are going to be entertainers at a theme park if they lose. And that's where the villains come into play and all of that. I mean, none of this sounds like it should work on paper, but the writing, again, is charming enough and it's fun enough that it never slows down. It never makes you go, why are we doing this? What is happening? I think the only thing that actually kind of bumped me was how quickly they transitioned from practice to we're doing the game. Because I remember as soon as the game sequence started, I was like, oh shit, yeah, they only play the one game.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason in my head... Yeah, for some reason in my head they had to play like multiple, you know, they were gonna play against like a shittier team and show that they were getting better and all that. No, it's literally like, hey, our practice facility sucks. No, actually it's great. Hey, we suck. No, actually we're pretty good too. And it goes really quick. But I mean, again, it's a kids movie. It's an hour and a half long. It should be an hour and a half long. So yeah, it's right up there. For me, it actually is a very solid single thumb up movie. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I certainly didn't feel middling about it. I would watch it again. I enjoyed myself.
Which
got some flaws, but not a ton to make me hate it.
Which Monstar took Muggsy Bogues' powers? Because he should have been about 4 feet tall.
Well,
he was pretty tall. Yeah, he was pretty short. Yeah. He should have been short.
Yeah, that was the idea.
I love Muggsy Bogues.
The blue one, the one that talks like a valley girl, is obviously Patrick Ewing because he's got his hair.
Yeah,
they all have little elements.
Did you know Muggsy Bogues could dunk? That little dude could dunk. That really? Dude
How
got.
Tall is Muggsy Bogues?
I believe he's 5'6", maybe 5'5". Let me look real quick.
He's 5'6". He's my height.
5'5" would be me.
Muggsy Bogues is
5'3".
5'3". What? Wow.
I am taller.
Dunking
than
at 5'3".
Dude had hops, man. Dude That's had hops.
He does. He also, you're talking about the line during
he has a 54 and a half vertical jump.
Oh my God. He has another great line toward the end when they, right before Jordan comes in with the ball, when he's like, you know, they're like, I guess it's over for us. And Muggsy goes, you know, at least you guys are still tall. If I can't play basketball, I'm just another short guy.
I also points for the, I love the way that the movie tied in real life of Jordan playing baseball. And then in the end, the reason he came to basketball, came back to basketball was because Barkley and them talked him into it. They were just like, come on. He's like, okay.
Come on, dude. Yeah, come on.
I guess. It's terrible. All right, Lindsay, go ahead.
So I am the opposite of you guys. When this came out, I did not give a shit about basketball. I did not give a shit about Michael Jordan. I was not into rap and R&B in any way, shape, or form. I went because I liked the Looney Tunes.
Well, Lindsay, open up a window and let the rap shine in. Come on.
Well, I'm an old tooth.
It just wasn't my scene back there. I mean, like, if it was 96, so I would have been like an eighth grader as far as that goes. I do not remember if we saw this in theater or if I rented it after the fact. I really don't remember. I want to say we probably went and saw it in theater because I remember my brother had a plushie of Bugs in the basketball uniform and everything. But I don't remember for sure whether we saw it in theaters or not. I
think those were – I want to say those were a fast food thing.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Somebody gave those out.
I think it was a Burger King thing because my dad ate at Burger King regularly for work.
There you go.
But we had the Bugs Bunny one, and like, to be completely transparent with our listeners, I did not get time to rewatch this before today. I got home from work and we hopped on. So I can't tell you the last time I actually watched this film. It was probably the same thing, maybe in college we rewatched it, but I honestly do not remember. I don't hate the film, but it also didn't leave a massive impression on me. Like, again, there's parts that I found entertaining, but for the most part, I've never really actively been like, hey, I want to go watch Space Jam again. I had friends that did. I have probably listened to the soundtrack more than I have watched the film.
Come on and jam.
Yeah. So with that being said, I am going with one up, one down on it just because it didn't leave a huge impression on me. I can be right in there and say, yes, it's a good film. If you haven't seen it, should you watch it? Yes. But I'm also, it's not going to be on the top of my, hey, you need to go watch this film movie list.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I have a timer going off, so I'll be right back. You guys continue.
I'm a little surprised, honestly. I thought she would give it one up just for the Looney Tunes, just out of respect. But apparently, yeah, she's not here to defend herself. Lindsay Wolfgang doesn't respect cartoons or the
Michael Jordan
basketball culture. She hates she hates Bill Murray.
He is definitely not for the culture.
No. No, she's let's just say she likes to control her narrative, if you know what I mean.
She's gonna be very upset when she gets back.
Smile on her face. God.
Yeah. Oh no!
Oh, I caught about half of what you said because it kept cutting out.
All right, Hunter, it's time for the next segment on the show. I always forget. Is it best character, worst character, or best actor, worst actor?
Best character, worst character.
All right, so. Best character, I think, to me, it's look, I don't care. You're going to criticize me for it. It's Charles Barkley. I don't care. Sir Charles, ever since he started hosting SNL, anything I see Charles Barkley and I'm like, oh my God, Charles Barkley is the best.
It just makes him smile.
Yeah.
If I didn't agree, but I did agree, what I would say is that's so dumb. It makes me mad.
That's terrible. Shaq, your stories are boring. Worst character, you know I'm going to do it. I don't care if there are worst characters in the film. The worst character is Lola Bunny. And it's not really her fault. She's not a real person. She's an animated character that they decided to make spanky material for some reason. Because no one's looking. Oh, I was going to say, no one's looking at Bugs Bunny and touching themselves, but yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah, that's probably how.
Do it while
too.
He's in drag.
You ever, yeah. Hunter, did you ever find Bugs Bunny hot when he was dressed as a woman?
No. No. My favorite bit from Wayne's World.
I love that.
I would go with, we don't normally do it this way, but I am going to throw a couple options.
Well, surprise, Lola was designed by four men.
What? There it is. One for each breast and then both ass cheeks.
I don't know that I would say is the best character, but and I can never remember all their little names, but the Blue Valley Girl little alien is one of the best characters just because everything he says is the dumbest thing he could possibly say in that moment. So that's fun. I do enjoy that. I would also give a nod for worst character to that little shithead alien kid at the beginning who's a brat.
Yeah,
mostly because I just don't like the sound of his voice.
No,
he just sucks. Yeah. And then Danny DeVito's character plays it on repeat like three times. And I'm like, please stop, Danny, please stop.
Yeah. Well, now it's the part on the show where we talk about the epilogue and what happens to these characters after the fact. This is a weird one. Because technically, a lot of these people in this, you know what happens to them. They're real people. Michael Jordan famously went back to basketball and did fantastic again, and then eventually retired. And I think he owned the Wizards there for a while, or was it the Lakers? I forget. It was the Wizards, right?
The Wizards.
Yeah,
used to be the Bullets. They weren't previously a team.
Well, they used to be the Bullets, and then they changed the name to the Wizards because Bullets was too offensive.
It was a lot. Yeah.
True story. And a lot of those guys, you know, they played basketball, they retired. There's some of the best basketball players of all time. You can literally look at every basketball player that's in this movie and go, well, there's an argument that they're one of the best. They really are. Like, it is a crop of basketball players.
It's a crop.
The Looney Tunes characters.
This is also a weird one. Well, real quick, this is also a weird one because there is a sequel to this movie, technically.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. They did make a sequel called Space Jam, Milking It. What was it called?
It says New Legacy.
New Legacy. I thought the subtitle was Chip Giving It to Gadget.
I still have not watched the new one, and I honestly have no interest.
I haven't either.
I've heard it's
so Michael Jordan's not in it, to the best of my knowledge, at all, because it's LeBron. LeBron James.
And Don Cheadle.
And Don Cheadle's in it, which was a weird choice for Don Cheadle, importantly. Don Cheadle's great, but it was a weird choice for him to take this movie, other than they drove a dump truck full of money up to his house.
He's not made of stone.
What if he made of stone?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also, it's basically they looked at Ready Player One and went, but what if we did it with cartoons?
And basketball.
Like, it's no longer, and basketball, it's hardly even about any of that stuff. It's like, we're not just going to be the Looney Tunes. Let's bring in every media franchise we can get our hands on.
I've never seen
it. It's just weird, man. I haven't seen it either, but that's what I've read of it, and that's just weird to me.
Just seeing the previews for it and what I know about it, it feels soulless. But I don't want to say that because I never watched it. I might be wrong. You could look at this film.
That's kind of the reviews that I heard from it.
Yeah, but I heard that about this movie when it came out. A lot of people said it was a soulless cash grab. Oh, you throw Michael Jordan in the Looney Tunes and all this. But, you know, years later, it's looked back on fondly, and it's kind of a classic. I don't think the new one will ever be that. But, you know, until I watch it and I could say for sure that it's awful, I don't want to pass judgment on it. But I'm not clamoring to watch it. So put it that way.
Yeah,
I didn't even like
the skimming over it right now just to see if they make mention of any...
For the first film?
I mean, I'm looking at the... No. I'm looking at the description for the second one. And one of the highlights, one of the lines in the very end of the plot description says, 1 week later, LeBron, respecting Dom's wishes, allows him to attend the E3 game design camp.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I also see the phrase, the serververse...
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
All right, so I'm also looking at... apparently, they didn't actually try to get Michael Jordan in the new movie.
Mm-mm. That's probably for the best, because he probably would have laughed at him.
However, Michael B. Jordan is in it.
Mm-hmm. Man, okay, explain this. Appearances via archive footage include Mike Myers, Seth Green, and Robert Wagner as Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, Scott Evil in number 2, Ingrid Bergman as Ilsa Lund from Casablanca, and Josh Hellman as Slit from Mad Max Fury Road. Why is any of this in a Space Jam movie?
It sounds so bad. All right, that's it.
What?
We're
also
done.
Gabriel Iglesias played Speedy Gonzalez.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, and Lola Bunny is in this one, played by Zendaya.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep, because
she
came out in defense of the redesign because there was a big there was a big clamor. People were upset that they changed the way Lola looked because they toned down her sexuality. And Zendaya had to remind them that, oh, it's a cartoon rabbit.
Oh, this was multiverses, but a movie. Hang on.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So... Wonder Woman shows up in the movie, played or voiced by Rosario Dawson, which is actually kind of cool.
That's pretty good.
Rick and Morty experiment on Taz before returning him to Bugs.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. I don't know if I can bring myself to watch this. I think it's just going to hurt. I think if I watch this movie, it's just going to hurt.
Part of me thinks we should watch it for March.
We must.
You know?
Right.
For March, though, I mean, well, shit, we got one more week, and I was going to ask you, like, what are we doing? Well, first of all, we didn't do any epilogues. What I really wanted to see, and I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, what I really wanted to see instead of A New Legacy was, I love the idea that the little dudes stuck around at the end and became Looney Tunes themselves, and they were bad at it. I just want a Looney Tunes movie that's just about them. It doesn't have to be. It's like a spinoff of Space Jam, not really a sequel,
and
it's just a new Looney Tunes movie. Huh?
It's on Peacock.
Oh, yeah, it's on Max because they produced it. Yeah. That's why I thought this one would be on Max. No, you got to go to the Roku channel to watch it, of all things. I want a movie of I think they're called like the Nerdlings or something.
Nerdlurks, I think it was.
Nerdlurks. Yeah. I want a movie that's just a Looney Tunes movie, but it's also like it's kind of about them like getting integrated and like, you know, there's probably some lost Looney Tunes. That's where I want to like deep dive into Looney Tunes characters. Yes. I don't want to do random bullshit. Let's go into that. Let's talk about the characters that have kind of gotten forgotten and you know, and it can move away from basketball. That's okay. It's fine.
I'd like to watch cartoons about Looney Tunes, but I don't want to watch any more Looney Tunes films. I've never, unlike the Muppets, I don't think they lend themselves as well to full length features because the Muppets.
Well, yeah, because they're not designed for it.
No. And Muppets have some great films. Looney Tunes do not. This is probably the best Looney Tunes film.
Definitely the most highest grossing
one. I've never watched Back in Action with Brendan Fraser.
I haven't either.
I've never watched
it. It's okay.
I don't know anything about that.
It's okay. Yeah.
I'd like to see a continuation of Space Jam where Michael Jordan's son, Michael Jordan, played by Michael B. Jordan, he tries to like live through his father's legacy against the Monstars, and then one of the Monstars' sons comes in and they play a one-on-one game together, and they've got to train him.
I got it now.
To be better. And Bugs,
wait me a minute.
Bugs comes out of retirement to train him. He's like, I knew your father. Yeah. You know, Lola.
And Michael B. Jordan's like, why are you talking like that? And he's like, oh, sorry. He starts pulling cotton balls out of the inside.
Like, hey, sorry, Doc. I had root canal. Or like Woody Woodpecker. All right, we're done. That's it. We'll be back.
So we'll do this next week. We have one more. Do you want to make it the new legacy, man? Is that where you want to go with this?
Yeah. You want
to pull that trigger?
Let's do it.
Okay, because I mean, look, we have options. On our list, we have no fewer than four other movies that could be it. Things like He Got Game, Love Basketball and Basketball, Diaries. The Basketball Diaries.
Yeah, but
if you want to call it.
I think our listeners especially don't always like to hear us talk about good movies. They like to hear us rag on bad films. So
yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. For you, the listener, you selfish
for you.
Prick.
For you.
For you. We're going to watch next week Basketball and Jam, The Space Diaries. What did you say? What is it called?
Space Jam, A New Legacy.
A New Legacy.
I'm gonna watch a movie called Space Diary.
Basketball and Jam, The Space Diaries. Whew. That's
well,
next
you
week.
You don't want to call a jam, right?
No, I already got in trouble last night. Let's pull Zach Kurgis in here real quick and see what he thinks.
Hang on, we're not done yet.
Zach Kurgis, you there? Zach Kurgis. Hey, you're on the air. What did you think of the movie Space Jam?
First Wafers. Hey, what is the old one?
The old one.
The new one. We haven't, yeah. The old one. Yeah. We haven't talked about the new one yet. We're doing that next week.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it as a kid. I thought it was really fun, but I'd watch that sometimes, but I would mainly choose to watch like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's a better. I was actually going to say that in my review. I think that's a better.
The live action, but as a kid, it was phenomenal. That was, you know, next level.
Have you seen the new one?
Yeah.
How was it?
Okay. What? Real quick. No. Don't. No spoilers. What did you think about it?
All right, that's all I needed to hear. All
right, that's what we needed to know, because we're getting ourselves into it next week. None of us have seen it. So,
So Dragon Ball Evolution. There you go.
Oh. Oh, man. Those are some strong words.
I know how bad that is.
All right, well, that's next week. Thank you, Zach, for popping in. By popping in, I dragged you in. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode, the last episode of March Madness. We're watching Space Jam, A New Legacy. Ooh, that's next week. Until then, check out last night's new PZ85 plays. A lot of fun. Tomorrow's an all-new After Dark. And it's a late After Dark because we're watching Ghostbusters tomorrow. Me and Lindsay and Zach and Billy Hills. So,
you're going to kill me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, Friday may or may not be horse time. Until then, the balcony is closed. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Double H, take us out.
Zach, take us out.
Zach.